Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Extra special and exciting episode of Fire Team Chat. The regular crew is joining me today, but also Bungie has decided to join us and tell us a little bit more about Season of the Drifter. Your Vidoc just came out. We're recording this shortly after. Why don't you tell us a little bit about all the announcements that you just had in this exciting reveal?
Well, thanks for having us on the show. We figured this would be the best way to celebrate your 201st episode, given that that's such a monumental number. In all seriousness, it's really a great day for us. We love when Bungie Vidoc comes out, and it's a great opportunity for us to sort of tell in our own words our story about what we have planned for the Guardians of Destiny and what our goals are and our hopes, our dreams, our inspirations, our motivations, all the people under this roof that are working hard to create new content to keep people who love playing this game and exploring that world together engaged with new things to do and new things to play and new things to earn. And, you know, from a community perspective, to be able to refresh that conversation season after season and to have a reliable cadence for when there's going to be new things to talk about has really been great for us. I mean, if you've followed Destiny for a long time, you know, some years we have a lot to talk about. There are other years where people are kind of asking us to pull the curtain back and show them what we're working on. So to be able to be a lot more transparent about our future goals and to keep people looking forward to things that they might not know completely about, and then have a day like today where we can say, here's what it is. You know, here's what the new Gambit experience is. Here's what PvE pinnacle activities mean in Season of the Drifter is a lot of fun. And I've brought along into these hot seats on our side of the magical video wall two of the people who have done a lot of the work on that for Season of the Drifter. So you might know me. You might know me as Deej, the person who writes your blog and makes your tweets. But I've brought along two people who actually make things. They actually create meaningful things with their life.
We love
they
those
work
blocks.
More than
we
280 characters at times. So let me have them introduce themselves to you.
Go ahead.
Yep. All right. Hey, I'm Lisa. I am a sandbox designer here at Bungie, and I did a lot of work on the armor in Forsaken and the Gambit Prime armor that we showed in the Vidoc.
Ooh,
nice. I'm Lars, and I was the creative lead on Season of the Drifter. And worked with a lot of people, a lot of really talented people. Lisa is obviously one of them, to make this whole thing come together. And Deej said it already, but days like today when we release the Vidoc and information starts coming out is really special because we get to see everyone's reaction, and that's priceless. I mean, we're still combing through all the feedback right now, and I'm sure we'll spend the rest of the day doing that, but we're really excited to be here, and thanks again for having us, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, that Gambit armor, whoo, stuff looks great.
It looks absolutely awesome.
Fantastic.
There's different sets leading into each of your play styles.
Yeah.
I will probably be either moat collector or the one that kills the bad guys.
There you go.
But not the invader.
No invader for you.
Yeah.
Reaper.
Reaper. Yeah, Reaper. Yeah. So on that note, it seems like this piece of content is more inclusionary. And one of the ways you're doing that is with your power surge bounties. It seems like those get you to 640 really quickly. And we're sort of curious how those are going to work in Gambit Prime and Reckoning. And will power level still only be player to player in Gambit Prime? Could you explain the mechanic a little bit more?
Yeah, I'll talk real quick about the power surge bounties. It was definitely something that we saw in the Black Armory timeframe where players were saying, hey, I'm really interested in playing this content. I have been playing plenty of Forsaken, but I'm only at X power level and I can't even play the first Forge. And they were frustrated. And we knew that was not a great position for them to be in. They were engaged customers, they're paying customers, and they were telling us about a problem. So Power Surge really comes from trying to solve that problem of saying, hey, we know you want to play this content right away. We know you might want to bring a friend in possibly and have them play the content with you right away. And so this was a cool way for us to do that, to say, hey, here's these four bounties. If you complete these four Power Surge bounties, you're going to get enough gear for your entire character to bring you up to 640, and it's blues. So the first thing you're going to want to do is either use them for infusion or, you know, like start getting your legendaries. But setting your power level at 640 then just helps you progress and get right in to playing Season of the Drifter day one within, you know, an hour or two max of doing sort of a few different things across the universe, like playing Strikes and playing Crucible and Open World. And then to speak directly to the power stuff, for Gambit Prime, behaves just like traditional Gambit. So the power really only comes into play when invasions are happening or you're being invaded. So that doesn't change between Gambit Prime and traditional Gambit.
Okay.
Nice.
I don't want to hog the mic the whole time. I definitely want to give CJ and Steven a chance to talk. So why don't you guys either ask a question or did you have something to bounce off from that point?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so basically you can, it sounds like, do a bunch of different activities to complete those bounties. They're not just specific to Gambit.
Yeah, they are broken up between basically four different subcategories. So we wanted the players to sort of sample different things, like, you know, do some public events, play a Crucible match, play some Strikes, that kind of thing. Just because Destiny, and as a player of Destiny, it's really important to sample a bunch of different things. Like, we have a lot of great content, and having you play just a little bit of each of these different activities felt like the right thing to do instead of saying, hey, you want to be up to speed for Season of the Drifter? Go play Gambit. We know that there are obviously a ton of people that love Gambit, but there are people who, you know, there are other things that they love too, even more than Gambit. And so we wanted to spread that around.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the Vidoc was excellent. And
yeah,
the thing I wanted to know more about, and if hopefully you guys can educate us, you said in the Vidoc, Gambit Prime will transform once players start to unlock perks. Can you elaborate on how it will transform and what kind of perks players are working towards?
Do you want to
sure.
take that?
Yeah, I'll take that. So each of the armor sets that you saw is associated with a set of perks for the specific roles. So the invader has, you know, four perks that they're working to unlock. And the way it works is the armor has, it basically has a stat on it. Like, this is an invader set. So it's like +3 invader. And the more of that you wear, the more of the invader perks you unlock. So it's all about, you know, playing and then going to get that armor. And the more you get and the higher tiers you get, you work on unlocking basically the pinnacle, we call it the pinnacle perk of the role. So it's not tied direct, like the perks aren't on the armor, but the armor is how you unlock the perks. And that lets you do stuff like, you know, you can really focus on one gameplay role, or you can also mix and match and get some of those lower tier perks to unlock nice. Across roles, just whatever, you know, your playstyle counts cool. for.
That's great.
So for the colors, does that only appear after you unlock or you collect an entire set, or are the colors
So the colors, they'll represent which role you are. So if you get, like, Invader Pants and, you know, Invader... Sorry.
I love you.
Invader pants.
I love it. Yeah.
Or your Reaper helmet.
Gambit Prime time. Put all your invader pants. Let's go. do.
Pants. You know, those will have the red decal, and the Reaper will have the green decal. But once you unlock that pinnacle perk of one roll, that's when they start to glow with a really bright color.
Gotcha. Okay.
So basically, if you see someone and, you know, they've got a couple of red pieces and a yellow piece, you know, they're sort of mix and matching. But if you see someone and they're glowing a specific color, like in the ready room, you can spot them. You sort of know to expect the big pinnacle perks for those rolls.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Masters of their discipline.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great. So then,
that's cool.
So then the aura is basically once you've completed, you know, getting all four sets, that is the visual aesthetic that goes along with it when you're wearing all four the same.
Five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Five. Yes. Once yes. you're
good
wearing
at math.
All five pieces.
Yes.
Yeah. That, or you have, yeah, yeah that's when
it's,
the aura.
Yeah. Yeah. And should we talk about the
Yes.
Basically, it's not like the perk doesn't live on the armor.
Yeah.
It's just a way of boosting that stat, like your invader stat. Mm. So there are opportunities, like, late in there to still wear, like, an exotic with your stat and still get that top-level perk.
Nice. Yeah, the set of mechanics that allow these perks to unlock, too, are discreet enough. They're separated enough from the armor that Lisa mentioned this earlier. Mm-hmm. We call it multi-classing, mm-hmm. where you're able to wear, say three or four sets of one piece of armor and then one or two from another set, mm-hmm. or maybe multiple sets. And you can mm-hmm. take one of these consumables, which we can talk about how they work in the Reckoning
yeah,
later.
It's from the Reckoning,
but
yeah.
That will allow you to multi-class and like turn on perks in other suits. So
yeah.
it's a really deep system.
Yeah. So it's mostly the primary way you unlock the perks is the armor, but there are other ways you can boost those roll stats to like maybe if you're just short of the next tier perk to boost and get it unlocked.
Okay.
So you play Gambit and then you go into the Reckoning, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's how you earn this gear. Is that right? Got it.
That is correct.
I got it right.
You will. Yeah. Yeah.
So how long about is it a round of Gambit now that it's only one epic event as opposed to this sort of tiered event?
So the prime rounds last anywhere from like 6 to 10 minutes, something like that, something in that neighborhood. And it really depends on how well the team is working together and the new primeval mechanics and obviously how well people are doing in collecting motes and not dying. So there's, you know, there's some leeway here and there. But generally in our playtest, it's been somewhere like that, like 6 to 10 minutes.
Did you take our advice from a previous episode and have the Drifter shout, turn in the motes really loudly when a player is just sitting with 15?
I was watching that episode at home and I did laugh out loud. But, I wish we could, you know, I wish it was easier sometimes to take that idea and jam it into the game. But yeah, like not always as easy, but love the suggestions. Keep them coming.
All right. We will for sure.
That's great.
While we're on the topic of the Gambit Prime armor, this armor can be used in just regular Gambit too, correct?
The perks are only in Gambit Prime.
Gotcha.
We talked about that early on, whether they should carry over to regular Gambit, but they're very, like, they really alter the game mode significantly. So we decided that in order to make the perks really potent and really powerful, we were going to keep it in Gambit Prime. Otherwise, we would have had to, make them more
less potent.
Basically, we wanted to turn it up to 11. So we're like, let's just focus on Prime because a lot of them have to do with mechanics that are specific to Prime. And so we just sort of narrow focus. But the armor itself, you know, you can wear it anywhere. It has the standard, you know, perk set on it and mod slots. So it functions like a normal piece of armor. It's just in Gambit Prime. It has this additional effect of unlocking the perks.
You're not going to be cheesing raids with Gambit Prime armor.
Says you.
People would have tried it. I appreciate you not saying the nerf word. You did very good. You're saying buffs. There's going to be other buffs here. And then to round off a Gambit conversation, you talked about how now there's going to be no third round of Gambit. It's going to be like a primeval rush boss. We had a few people wondering, is that going to be maybe just, Meatball in the third round exclusively, or is there going to be kind of just the same boss mechanic? It just potentially could be one of those things at the end.
So So I'll answer in two parts. One is, it is like a sudden death. We definitely took that feedback to heart from the community that the matches were taking too long, and we agreed. And so it will be sudden death. Primevals are up from the very beginning. Everyone gets juiced up. So it's like burn down the primevals at that point. The other interesting thing, that you mentioned about, I'm spacing on this now.
Meatball.
Thank you, Lisa. the meatball, because it's important. Mm-hmm. We did actually take it so the meatball is not tied to the curse week anymore, and it is just as possible to show up as any other of the primevals.
Okay,
so you will be seeing the meatball a lot more often in Gambit.
Cool. What is the meatball actually called?
I was just going to say.
I love how like you guys are just rolling with that.
Take Conservator or something like that. I think it has a specific name, and I'm terrible.
Meatball is its official real name now. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm really
excited. Vernacular takes hold, and that's just what it is. Yeah. I'm going to totally glom onto Invader pants.
That's great. I'm really excited about the Reckoning because it kind of gives you that reward aspect for winning in an activity, a glimpse. It's sort of like the feeling we would get when we won in Trials of Osiris. I'm sort of curious, can you talk a little bit more about that symbiotic relationship between Gambit Prime and how the Reckoning is going to tie into that with rewards and everything?
Yeah, for sure. So when you complete Gambit Prime matches, and just by doing things in Gambit Prime matches, you're going to be getting these synths that we mentioned earlier that are sort of dual purpose. Not only can you use them to buff your the way the perks work with the armor, but you also are required synths, the uses that you put them in a bank and you create a moat, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're calling it. Mm-hmm. Like you are creating a moat that you bring into the Reckoning. And you're jamming it in this bank-like object. And from that point on, you go into a difficult encounter. And there's, we've said, three tiers of this encounter. Mm-hmm. And once you complete that encounter and you're successful, you get a chance at that particular role of the synth type that you put in there. So if you're going for a Reaper set, you get your Reaper synths, you put them into this little portable bank that the Drifter has given you. You then take those motes that you've created and you put them in the Reckoning. And if you then successfully complete a Reckoning tier, you get a shot at that, say, Reaper armor set. That tier. So that's how it works. And then you're going to want to take that armor, obviously, back into Gambit Prime, because as you're getting these armor pieces and putting them together and unlocking those perks, you're going to be then better at Gambit Prime. And so that loop then starts to happen between the two activities.
Wow, that's really cool. That's
exciting. So as long as you have those consumables, you can keep grinding for the armor.
Yes.
Awesome.
And the other really cool thing about the Reckoning is that, you know, we've taken a lot of learnings based on things we've done in the past, like Court of Oryx and Blindwell and Escalation Protocol. Mm-hmm. And if you were to break this thing down, it is a four-player match-made activity. And beyond that, when you get in there, it sort of acts like a mini match-made public event where you can stay there as long as you want. Once you get in there, you're in there until you decide to leave. You're still going to get rewards for completing these tiers, but you're not going to get armor or Gambit Prime weapons unless you're putting in synths. So there is still reason to stay there and say Sherpa people or help them out on the different tiers. Mm-hmm. But effectively, you get in there, you can stay there as long as you want. It's really cool.
Okay. Nice. That's a really exciting evolution of Gambit for me, because like it kind of meets a lot of the tenets of Destiny that I love about the game, and the reason that I keep coming back to the game repeatedly. You had a few questions about the Allegiance quest. One of you guys did.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, before I get into that, I just wanted to wrap our Gambit question. I was curious to know, what have you guys learned in terms of what the community wanted in your first year of Gambit, and what was the team's main focal points in Season of the Drifter?
Well, one thing I probably should point out is the roles that we're doing in Prime, they sort of evolved naturally out of how the community was playing Gambit. It came out of how people tended to play, and they sort of naturally started dividing into these roles. And so focusing on them and like really like honing those roles as sort of response to how players were naturally responding with the mode. So that was a big part of at least the role definitions and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you can also look to the quality of life improvements that we're making to the base Gambit activity. You know, people have talked to us a lot about how invaders spawn. They've talked to us a lot about how different elements of the sandbox play a crucial or maybe distracting role in Gambit. So,
Queenbreaker.
Go ahead and say it. But we're not just delivering a new Gambit-style activity in the form of Gambit Prime. We're also sort of going back, revisiting Gambit, and saying, here's what players have told us that they need in order to get their maximum amount of enjoyment out of this. So if people are sort of thinking, ah, you know, I played some Gambit, I got tired of, you know, getting invasion sniped, I got tired of, you know, like Queenbreaker all the time, we can welcome them back, you know, give Gambit another try, and then come into Gambit Prime with fresh eyes, because this will have a whole different type of scenario. But learning from the community is absolutely a component of our development cycle. You know, reading what the community is saying, watching the community playing in real time is a huge component of our game. You can't get a cup of coffee at Bungie without seeing, you know, streamers playing Destiny live from whatever corner of the world. We have endless amounts of player data. You can't fire a shot in our game without us knowing about it. And we cross-reference that and we analyze all that. We've got an entire team of analytics people who, you know, kind of give us some of that wisdom that we can extract from the math. And then, you know, there are things like visits to the studio. I mean, we were visited by we were visited by a player who has played more rounds of Gambit than any other thinking, breathing person on this planet Earth. And, you know, to be able to sort of reach into that person's mind and to say, why do you love it? You know, how does it hold up over how many thousands of matches that you've played? What would you recommend as its evolution? You know, and then also talking to people who don't love it enough to play it as much as this gentleman had, but to also talk to people who say, you know, how's it falling short for you? And we've obviously got our own inspirations. We've got our own vision that we want to follow. But mm-hmm. I think we're very cognizant of the fact that Destiny belongs to the players as much as it does us now. And giving the people who love this game some equity in our creative process is a huge part of my job. And, you know, it's been really fun to, like, plan some of those summits and plan some of those visits. Yeah. And, you know, to give people like Dylan and Cosmo a role in some of these rooms. I mean, they're always going to play test. You know, and I kind of just tell them, like, take the player's eyes and put them in your skull and go try what this new thing is.
Not literally. Not literally.
No, we do that. We engage in dark magic.
When we played Gambit at E3, yeah, you know, it was a very special game mode. We often said it was one of those things that did the Destiny community just such a great service, where it married the two things, like PvP and PvE, together in the same space. So, we enjoy it. I'm interested to know, maybe if I have a comparison question between Gambit and Gambit Prime, are a lot of the mechanics still the same? Is it going to be the same amount of moats? I know I saw something about Invader can now rob moats maybe from a bank or something like that. I don't know if there's anything you guys want or can divulge on that topic, but.
There's some things that are specific to the game mode of Prime, and some things that come from those perks. So, for example, the collector set, when you get the top tier perk, it lets you collect 20 motes instead of 15 and send a jumbo blocker. I don't know what the real
giant,
term.
Giant blocker. Yeah.
It's more scary sounding jumbo. Than jumbo blocker. You know, a great big taken. And one of the mechanics of the mode is, if you get more than one blocker on your bank, it starts draining moats out of your bank.
Oh, and, cool.
You watch people like in playtest, because we have the HUD up at the top, right? And you're watching this thing and they're blocked. And you're seeing it go like this continually. Like,
you're
the,
like, where's the sentry?
Yeah, like, who is protecting the bank, right? So I've seen some chatter already on Twitter this morning where people are like, I don't know about this sentry role. You know, they don't know anything about the perks, which is totally cool. They're going to find out a lot more soon. But, protecting the bank is really important in Gambit Prime, because if you have more than two blockers, or if there's an invader with the
that's the other thing. The top tier invader perk, it basically turns you into a blocker. So when you invade, you lock the bank And then if you physically go to the bank, then you'll start draining
you'll start
notes out of
siphoning notes out. Oh, so as an invader, you don't necessarily want to just hang back, because if you get close, you're doing double duty. Yeah. It's really cool.
You could run in there with Bubble and St. 14 and just park on the bank and just, have a little field day.
Awesome.
Ants, maybe.
Is the boss size like a bit too big Protheon size, which was in the game briefly, or is it a little smaller?
He's a mini and jumbo.
Can I still melt that?
This is why we
have
to bring you in earlier, because you got these ideas. Like, if we could have a way too big boss, that would have been fun.
I saw that Drifter now kicks a coin off his foot, so that's cool. That guy's got new moves every day. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, that's awesome to know. I didn't know about the whole perk, so it definitely makes sense that you need a sentry on your team.
Yeah.
So that's good to know.
I can already see the wheels in your brain turning now, going like, okay, well, if I invade, it's not only about kills. If I can maybe get on the bank and then get somebody.
How can I break them?
Yeah, because
you're evil.
There is definitely sometimes I think where people were more PvP centric, so it meant they want to jump in all the time now. But there's obviously maybe another way to play Gambit, even if you're not PvP centric as an invader, you can go in and still do other things to help out. That's great.
And it can swing a match too. I've in playtests, I've been on a team that's like way, way ahead, and then like we get overwhelmed with blockers and the invader gets in there and it resets the match almost. So you have to be really careful about keeping your bank protected.
We saw it happen in the last leadership playtest, where there were people even from outside the studio playing, and they hadn't really played before, but we let them play one game with like no perks and then one game with the tier 3 perks and saw how their play styles changed, which was really cool. But one team was way further ahead because the moat count is actually to 100 in Gambit Prime because it's a single round to summon the Prime Evil. And they were super far ahead, and through their invasions and everything else, they were able to, I think at one point it was like 100 to 25, they were able to come back completely swinging and win the match, and the room just erupted, and everyone was so excited, and I was like, oh, it's working, it's working. Yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome.
That's great.
I think a cool thing to observe, too, is that this experience that Lars is describing right now is not the experience that you're going to have on March 5th when Season of the Drifter starts, because they're talking about tier 3 perks. And if you look at the calendar, the gameplay calendar for Season of the Drifter that we released on the blog today, along with the Vidoc, we're giving people a sense of how the season will unfold over time. And tier 3 is a thing that becomes available several weeks out. So the Gambit Prime that you're playing right when the season starts will be very different than the Gambit Prime that you're playing when people start showing up with that chroma. And in the pose down, a few weeks in, people are like, oh God, these guys have already mastered their craft. We're going to have people stealing from our, and they'll have to kind of re-figure out exactly what these combat scenarios are week over week over week. And they'll have to be adapting to each other and thinking of new ways to counter each other. And while, you tell the joke in the Vidoc, it might make sense to have like four invaders on the other team.
Just throw that out there.
Playing that way.
Maybe.
But then when people are coming in with these different, skills, they're going to want to be able to counter that stuff. They're going to want to be able to benefit from that stuff as a team. So strategies will change, tactics will evolve. And that's really one of the things that we wanted to do with this seasonal content, is that the game changes week over week. There's a different conversation that unfolds over time.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Cool. So you guys had some questions about Legion's Quest. Do we want to jump over to that now?
So,
what do you want to know?
So this was not in the Vidoc to my memory, but can you guys talk more about a Legion's Quest? For instance, if you only have one character, can you still get the full experience as someone with multiple characters?
No, you're going to have to make a choice on your character, and that choice you make follows you for the rest of the season. So if you're a single player character, it's a tough choice, because you're only going to get to see sort of half of that quest and do half of the steps. But as you know, I know there are a lot of multi character players out there, and so they'll be able to play both sides and see it all. Yeah. We wanted you to have to make a decision, and that is important, because you want the end of that to feel satisfying, and if it's not a real decision, then it's not as interesting.
Okay.
Wow.
So another question. If, let's say, I missed a week of a bounty, would I be behind story-wise, or can I catch up somehow? How does that work?
Are you asking specifically about the Allegiance quest or something else?
Allegiance quest-wise.
The Allegiance quest is not so... there's another thing we have coming with the Invitations of the Nine, and that is like more of a long form weekly, week to week thing. And that happens a little bit later in the season. I think that's week two or week three. I'd have to look at the calendar to be sure. But Allegiance is relatively straightforward. And then what happens after that is, well, I don't want to give too much away, but it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome to hear.
Cool. Nice. I mean, yeah, I kind of have a follow-up question on that. I think, where you're going is sometimes, I think, with the cycle within the curse week of, the Dreaming City right now, which is fantastic. Yeah, if you ended up not maybe being around for one of those curse weeks, is there going to be a time where maybe within that span of time where it loops where you'll be able to get the thing again, or you don't miss it permanently if you weren't around? If you're like me and you have kids, or you had, like, you know, work responsibilities or real life to do, just wondering.
I think there'll be some good quality of life updates for that type of quest that we've done in the past. But yeah, there will definitely be times too where you want to be around and you want to check in. And I think the Invitations of the Nine are a good example of that, because Xur is only available on the weekends. And the only way to start the Invitations of the Nine each of those 9 weeks is to go and visit Xur.
Gotcha.
It will be important for you to check in.
So more family and life neglect. Got it. I'll let my wife know. Thanks.
I'm sorry, CJ.
she gets it by now. They understand.
What about vanity items like the seals and tiles for this next season? Are new ones going to be introduced for these, or the old ones being adjusted in any way?
I can't speak to the old ones being adjusted, there is a new seal and a new title in Season of the Drifter. Should I say the name of it?
No.
No.
Okay. Not going to. You'll find out soon.
Next.
There is a new title, though. We do have general questions also, so we can sort of talk about some of the other smaller reveals during the Vidoc. Mm-hmm. Iron Banner, definitely one of my favorite events from Destiny 1. I've enjoyed it in Destiny 2, but I want to know, Saladin making a quick appearance there, mm-hmm. are there going to be any evolutions or changes to Iron Banner, how we're currently experiencing it?
Yeah, there is actually an interesting evolution. We are going to allow players to... either buff themselves by a certain power number or decrease their power by a certain number. Hmm. And there will be certain things. I think there's going to be an emblem tracking, like the number of kills using the Iron Burden, which is the debuff actually that takes you down by, I believe it's 100 power. So wow. If you fancy yourself someone who's good at Crucible, Steven, or anyone else, maybe CJ, I don't know.
Too. Hey, a little.
Not even going to say my name.
It's okay, Destin. We've established
maybe Destin. You could do that, and you're basically taking on the Iron Burden in order to prove how awesome you are. And you're like, power? I don't need this power stuff. But the opposite side of that, too, is we're going to give players the ability to buff themselves if they want as well, if they're falling behind. Now, you don't get, like, the same rewards. You get sort of, I think you get a higher cadence of rewards, and you get some other nice vanity stuff for taking on the Iron Burden. So we've got some cool stuff there, but that fundamentally makes the Iron Banner feel a little bit different, because you will have people trying to, like, debuff themselves to see how good they are.
Oh, interesting.
Cool.
I like that.
That's pretty great. Cool.
Yeah.
We do have new maps coming to Gambit. We're going to be exploring on Deep Six and New Arcadia. Will we see those maps in any other modes, or are those specifically to Gambit Prime?
So they start out in Gambit Prime, and then they will eventually make their way into the Gambit playlist later on. We want them to feel special and debut in Gambit Prime, because that's originally what they were made for, or with that in mind. But they do work really well with traditional Gambit 2, and so we wanted to have that happen later in the season. And the other thing that's cool is both Gambit Prime and the new Prime maps will not be available in Gambit Private matches at launch, but they will be also later in the season. So we wanted to again, we wanted the prime stuff to feel like special in matchmaking. That's where you want to play it. And then later on in the season, we then unlock it for annual pass owners to dabble around there.
Learn it in combat, and then you can have it to yourself later.
That was
the great redeemer.
I felt like you were reading my mind there. I was just about to go, and private. Okay, thank you.
If you launch a Gambit private match by yourself, will enemies spawn, or is it just purely to explore the map and all that?
No, I think it should just work like Gambit. Obviously, if you're playing by yourself, invading the other side is going to be pretty boring. But, you know, I could see things like people doing 1v1s to see how fast they can clear waves, like all sorts of interesting stuff I'm sure will come out of it. And private matches also allows some of the more requested community functions, like the ability to turn off invader true sight when you're invading. So like all the people that are like, yeah, you know, I just want to turn that off. You can try that out in Gambit private matches if you want to, or turn off the catch-up targets, which are like the glowy guys that give you the shiny boys. You could turn that stuff off too in Gambit private matches. We still want to keep Gambit like fun the way we intended for matchmaking, but if you wanted to turn that stuff off and experiment, we give you the opportunity to do that too.
That's fantastic. Cool. I mean, I think that was, we often have said that as an invader, maybe it felt a little strong in that regard. That was some feedback that I think we've actually said on the show where, maybe like a pulse option or something to balance it out. But that's when, we were using a lot of Queen Breaker, as it were. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Here's just a question about you guys, personally, just in the studio. What has been the favorite thing, maybe just between the three of you here collectively, that you've had a chance to work on and see that you could tell us that you're really excited for the community to experience?
I mean, the process of making this armor set was an incredibly collaborative effort across different disciplines in the studio that was really challenging and really exciting and fun to work on. So I know it's like the main thing. It's not anything special or different, but just getting the brains together to figure out how these work. A lot of the perks are activity specific, so we had to make our sandbox perks, talk to the activity scripts, and it took a lot of people from a lot of different teams really like putting our interdisciplinary skills together to just pull it off. And so just the fact that it's out there, and I'm very curious to see how players engage with it. It's a little different since the perk unlocking works a little differently than normal armor. So I'm just really curious to see how people engage with it. That was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
For me, I'd say how players will react to sort of the way the Reckoning works with matchmaking, because we have made, I would say a pretty difficult activity. But because it's match made, and because you stick around with the people you went in with, and we'll bring people in too if it's light on players, with joining progress, but like sitting there and like going through difficult PvE encounters with a crew that stays together and is determined to figure that out. Like, I believe in the Destiny community to be able to do that kind of stuff, but it is a little more experimental. But that was kind of the interesting thing for us, I think, as a creative team, to look at those kinds of opportunities and try them out in seasonal content like this, because it's the kind of thing that players have been asking for, and we're excited to try them out. And so, yeah, I'm really interested to see how players sort of get together and solve some of the harder encounters that happen in like the tier 2 and tier 3 experience.
Yeah. I'm also really curious to see how players approach the option they have to mix and match the Gambit Prime armor, because that's something where I guarantee some players are going to figure out that if you wear like 2 Reapers and a Collector and a Sentry, then it's like you can do this really cool thing. Or you know, the fact that there's room, it's not just like work towards one role. There's opportunities there for players who like to explore and experiment to see like, oh, what if this low level perk and this low level perk together, you know, that might, you know, I can do something cool. So I'm anxious to see what comes from that.
DJ, I feel like you have something you're remembering.
Match every outfit.
Yeah. Are you remembering something, DJ? I was reading your body language there. You were smiling and I think you were.
You don't know anything about me. I'm looking forward to. Did I break the stream? Look at this.
You broke it. Yeah. Well, okay. Sea Janger broke everything.
Rage.
I'm looking forward to. They let me design my own custom sparrow that is designed after my Wings of Sacred Dawn warlock armor. And that was something that I felt very strongly about. So I'm kidding. They didn't let me do that, but I do think that sparrow is pretty badass. And I'm going to drive that sparrow wearing that armor. And I'm just going to be the most fabulous warlock that anyone ever seen. One of the things that I'm looking forward to is, we're going to, share some games of Gambit Prime with the community like we do. And we actually were talking about what should be, our streaming strategy for Season of the Drifter. Because, there have been times when prior to the launch of new content, we've gotten up on our streaming stage and we have revealed how the game will be different, or we have demonstrated in gameplay how the player experience is evolving. But on this occasion, we kind of felt like we would be stealing too much from the player to do that. To Lisa's point, for people to get out there and understand these new gameplay mechanics and to be able to mix and match these armor pieces and unlock these different perks, I didn't want to show that. I wanted people to experience that for themselves, but we really like to get up and stream the game and to share that action with people. So instead of playing it in a dev environment before launch, we thought, let's do it after the season begins. Let's go up on our own channel. And week over week for 3 weeks, three tiers, 3 weeks, let's play some Gambit Prime Bungie bounties on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC, maybe in that order, maybe not. but to show, just on our own channel, in our own Bungie bounty, as people come to match against us and defeat us and claim an emblem for honor and glory and bragging rights and all that good stuff, how the combat changes over time. And so that's really what our plan is going to be. And, I don't make the game, but I certainly try to come up with ideas for how we can share it with the people who love it. And, I can remember back in the day, the first time I ever met Lars, I stole your flag.
You did.
And I carried it home, planted it in my base. And, but that was, the rush of being able to beat Bungie at their own game, the rush of being able to share a thing you love with the people who created it, is awesome. And, as a community guy, I definitely wanted to bring that forward into the era of Destiny and in ways that makes Destiny special, still be able to share games with the players and turn people into heroes in that respect. So we're going to do that, and we'll have that calendar up on Bungie.net. And just week over week, we'll just be calling out people on different platforms and say, you're next, come and find us, come kick our ass.
Well, tell Dylan I said, what's up? He still talks about Dylan, that E3 snipe on me from E3 there. Lars, I think you were watching.
I have, do you guys have any other questions?
I had one more that I wanted to ask. We talked a lot about The Reckoning. You mentioned that it's timed. Can you explain that mechanic more? Is it a set timer that counts down, or can you regain time? Just enlighten us a little bit about how that's going to function at all.
Good question, Des.
So, I don't want to go into specifics other than to say there are timers, and some of them work by counting up, and some of them you have to do things to get them to get time back. I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Okay, cool.
on Tuesday, because I think one, like Deej mentioned this, but it is totally true. Like, we talk about this internally about the game takes on a life of its own. It has. And one of the most important things is when we put these new things out there is to see how the community rallies around figuring them out, and how people like yourself get a chance to go in front of your audience and say, hey, we figured this out. This is really cool, isn't it? And you become sort of like purveyors of the game as well, where you're talking about it, you're explaining it in depth to your, like, that's way more interesting to have people like you all doing that than it is to have people like us tell you exactly how it works and what it's going to be. At least that's our opinion. That's where we've come to at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels more inclusive too, to have you all be a part of that process. So I'm really happy with how that stuff has been coming together.
Cool.
Awesome.
Steven?
I have the most important question to ask now. Totally don't have to answer it. The Thorn was my favorite gun in Destiny 1. Can I shoot someone twice in the head and walk away and get a kill?
Oh, you're asking about Thorn. Jeez. Lisa, do you know the answer to that?
I don't know the answer to that.
I feel like we should know the answer to that, but...
My personal policy is to never make promises about combat.
Why fair is enough. That?
Fair enough, fair enough.
Or rewards, right?
Yeah, or rewards. Yeah.
Fair enough. That's a good question.
Tell me if I go and play
yeah.
this.
Yeah, we're all
that
having...
was the first time I ever met Destin. He had me cornered at PlayStation Experience and was asking me all sorts of questions about the new raid gear. And I was like, I'm just afraid to answer. I don't know what numbers will be on them. I'm afraid that if I say and it doesn't happen. So, yeah, the game takes on a life of its own. I thought that was really good.
PR. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Cool. That's great. Yeah, we're all having this D1 memory flashbacks, you know, year one there, seeing that.
A lot of those lately.
Yeah.
Steve, do you have any questions?
I mean, I have a bunch of questions, but yeah. Trying to stay with the theme. Yeah, I guess maybe just on the Reckoning, I think maybe historically not matchmaking people in raids and things like that are obviously potentially to alleviate frustration. Now this is going to be a matchmaking event. I'm assuming then maybe some of the encounters are going to have mechanics to the bosses, which is typically something that has not really, you know, you guys haven't really leaned in except for raids. I really enjoyed Escalation Protocol, which was, you know, really well done. I think that, even something like that will be great. Like, can you talk about those? Is that something that you want to divulge, or is it maybe like just wait and see?
I think it's – I mean, you're asking a good question, and I think the answer simply is the things that we're doing in both with Gambit Prime and the Reckoning in terms of the Primeval boss mechanics and then the boss mechanics in the Reckoning are both probably of a tier above what we've done before in a match-made activity. So I think we're going to learn a lot from that. I think we say internally that we trust the player base to be smart enough to figure this stuff out. And there will be guides out there so quickly that if you want to understand these things, you will be able to. And you'll be working with people who are also trying to figure this stuff out or maybe already know and they're helping you through it. And that's when Destiny really shines, yeah. Like as a player, when those things happen. And so I'm excited to see how people react to those things. Yeah, but they will be more challenging than things we've done previously in a match-made activity. Yeah.
And Dylan was even saying cool. The other day, he's like, I'm going to go to play test. I'm going to make sure that Tier 3 is beatable. I was like, yeah, could you?
Last wish was beatable.
You
know,
before you had said that it was kind of like a public event and that you could stay there, you could cycle through. Public events are, by their nature, pretty easy. I like them for that reason.
Yeah.
I think when we say that it's like a public event and that it's persistent, you can stay in there and you'll see different people cycle through. It's not easy like a public event. It's pinnacle PVE activity. It'll challenge your teamwork. It'll challenge your problem solving and your collaboration with other players. So we like it when people start to experience that, and it's different with whoever you play with every time. And you know, we find a lot of replayability in the social aspect of Destiny.
It's like if a difficult public event kicked off every minute or so after you were done with it and you're getting specific rewards for another activity. Like, that's sort of how it translates. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty neat in practice.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
I think there's going to be a lot of immediate gratification, I think, is kind of a recurring theme in our design for Season of the Drifter. Even if it's just bounties that get you up to 640 or being able to jump into Gambit Prime on day one, regardless of your power. I mean, beware the invader and their invader pants, but you can jump in and you can be an effective teammate.
Invader pants, pretty serious business.
It's serious trademarked. Business with those invader pants.
Serious pants.
And with the Reckoning, like you said, kicking off as often as it does, it's not like standing around and hoping the Whisper of the Worm is going to kick off. You know, and we've even went back and addressed that issue as well. So we want people who want to play Destiny to be able to jump in and play that Destiny. You're not going to get maximum satisfaction and a sense of completion of your character on day one or even in week one, but we like to make the action a little bit more accessible this season.
Nice. Cool. That's great. I mean, none of us had any issues with Cabal Drill at all here.
Good.
Yeah. The only last thing I had was it looks like, I don't know, obviously I haven't played it, but it looks like you're leaning a little bit more into story, and one of the ways you're doing that is with bounties that allow you to learn more about the Nine. Can you tell us, like, how are we going to pick up those bounties, or can you give us any more of a hint about how that's going to function?
Yeah, those are directly tied to Xur. I was mentioning that earlier in the nice. Show, and when Steven was asking about the Allegiance quest, I sort of skipped over into the Invitations of the Nine. And so you're gonna go to Xur and get those things kicked off.
Okay,
that's great. Xur bounties.
Xur is not the hunter in the White Dog.
All right. Just said, he kind of looked a little ominous there.
That's all I had. Did you guys have anything else?
No, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. Lars, Lisa, Deej, thank you for joining us, coming on the show, and telling us a little bit more about Season of the Drifter. I'm really, really excited after the Vidoc, and I think we all are for sure. Anything else you guys want to plug before we head out? Nope.
I was looking at CJ, like, what's CJ going to plug?
Gibson Films on Twitter. Yeah. No.
Cool. Yeah, we have nothing left to plug. Season of the Drifter comes out Tuesday. I think you may have noticed that with these seasons of content, we have a much shorter runway for the hype train at Bungie. Mm-hmm. So the week before the season kicks off, we set some expectations for, you know, what you're going to experience. I mean, the calendar is up there, so you can kind of look out across the year that began with Forsaken and take a look at all the different things that we're planning to infuse into your hobby. But this starts on Tuesday, and we may have a piece of media or two to get you excited about Gambit Prime and Reckoning. So, you know, those things will arrive in their own time before the season begins. But we certainly love issuing the invitation to Guardians to come on home, experience this new stuff. We worked really hard on it. Yeah. And there's so many people. I mean, you know, you've got three people sitting in front of you, and each of us speaks for many, many people upstairs who have been pouring their hearts into the Season of the Drifter and giving you all kinds of cool stuff that you can play and earn and add to your collection and ways to evolve and become powerful in new and exciting ways. So consider that all plugged.
Cool.
That's great.
Wait.
Well, we do an outro here on the show where we all point at the camera and say, Guardians out. I would like to invite you to partake. Get ready. And so
I'm going to do
ready seats.
I think so.
There's a
but
lag.
How about before we do that, we're going to just, I mean, we wanted to say thank you for the last word.
And I mean, all the weapons that we hope return someday.
All that dirty Titan. I know he's a warlock really under there. All right, we're going to do this. There's always some delay. It should be good.
Okay. All right. Well, until next time, everybody.
Guardians out.
Guardians out.
There it is.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.